Right now, if you would, open your Bibles with me to Ezekiel chapter 34. This will serve as our text this evening. Ezekiel 34. I began studying for the next passage in the book of Genesis this week, and there's something there, but the Lord just didn't give it to me quite yet. And when I turned to this passage, I found out why. I believe this is the message for us this evening. Ezekiel chapter 34. And the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy and say unto them, Thus saith the Lord God unto the shepherds. Woe be to the shepherds of Israel that do feed themselves. Should not the shepherds feed the flocks? Ye eat the fat, and ye clothe you with the wool. You kill them that are fed. You made them fat, and you kill them, but you feed not the flock. The diseased have you not strengthened, neither have you healed that which was sick, neither have you bound up that which was broken, neither have you brought again that which was driven away, neither have you sought that which was lost. But with force and with cruelty have you ruled them. And they are scattered because there's no shepherd. And they became meat to all the beasts of the field when they were scattered. My sheep wandered through all the mountains and upon every high hill. Yea, my flock was scattered upon all the face of the earth, and none did search or seek after them. Therefore, ye shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. As I live, saith the Lord God, surely because my flock became a prey, and my flock became meat to every beast of the field, because there is no shepherd, neither did my shepherds search for my flock, but the shepherds fed themselves, and fed not my flock. Therefore, O ye shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God, Behold, I am against the shepherds, and I will require my flock at their hand, and cause them to cease from feeding the flock. Neither shall the shepherds feed themselves any more. For I will deliver my flock from their mouth, that they may not be meat for them. For thus saith the Lord God, Behold, I, even I, will both search my sheep and seek them out. As a shepherd seeketh out his flock in the day that he is among his sheep that are scattered, so will I seek out my sheep and will deliver them out of all places where they have been scattered in the cloudy and dark day. And I will bring them out from the people and gather them from the countries and will bring them to their own land and feed them upon the mountains of Israel by the rivers, in all the inhabited places of the country. I will feed them in a good pasture, and upon the high mountains of Israel shall their fold be. There shall they lie in a good fold, and in a fat pasture shall they feed upon the mountains of Israel. I will feed my flock, and I will cause them to lie down, saith the Lord God. I will seek that which was lost, and bring again that which was driven away, and will bind up that which was broken, and will strengthen that which was sick. But I will destroy the fat and the strong. I will feed them with judgment. And we'll end our reading there. Let's bow before our Lord together. Our great God, our sovereign, holy, merciful, heavenly Father, we bow before your throne of grace this evening. Father, a thankful people. We're so thankful that though we're sinful men and women, in the person of our Lord Jesus Christ, we can come boldly before your throne of grace, crying, Abba, Father. Father, we cry to you this evening that you would be our teacher this evening, that you would speak through your word, speak through your servant to the hearts of your people. Father, I pray you would be our teacher, that you would give us faith to behold the Lord Jesus Christ and to believe on him, to rest in him, to trust in him. Father, enable the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to be exalted and magnified. Enable his person to be magnified so that your people can behold him with awe and wonder and to worship him from the heart, to bow to him and believe in him. Father, I pray you deliver us from just going through the motions of religion. But Father, I pray you give us a true hour of worship. And what we pray for ourselves, we pray for all of your people, wherever they might meet together tonight. Father, cause your word to go forth in the power of your Spirit. In this dark, dark day in which we live, Father, we pray you'd show us your glory. Father, we dare not forget to pray for those who are in deep waters and in difficult times, at times you've brought them to. Father, we pray that you'd comfort their hearts with your presence. We pray that you would heal and that you'd comfort, that you'd deliver as soon as it could be thy will. And all these things we ask, and we give thanks in that name which is above every name, the name of Christ our Savior. Amen. Now, I've titled the message this evening, "You Won't, But I Will." Our text begins with the Lord rebuking false prophets. You know, there's been false prophets as long as there's been men, haven't there? It's just today they got TV and internet, so they can spread themselves so much more quickly than they ever used to. But there's always been false prophets. And the Lord has a word for them here, Ezekiel 34, beginning in verse 1. "And the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy and say unto them, Thus saith the Lord God unto the shepherds, Woe be to the shepherds of Israel that do feed themselves. Should not the shepherds feed the flocks? Ye eat the fat, and ye clothe you with the wool. You kill them that are fed, but you feed not the flock. Now the shepherds of Israel, these are the men who are supposed to be God's under-shepherds. They're supposed to be the religious leaders of the people. They're supposed to be the pastors who preach to the sheep, who care for the sheep, who lead and guide the sheep. You know, God's people need a pastor. They need someone to lead them and to guide them and to preach to them. And I tell you, if a man's going to care for God's sheep, now he's got to love them. He's got to love them. If he's going to lead and guide these sheep, if he's going to do it right, he's got to always have their best interest at heart. He's going to put their best interest ahead of his, just like you parents put the best interest of your children ahead of yourself. You know, if you only had one hamburger, you're going to give it to your kids, aren't you? You're not going to eat yourself. That's just the way it is. But the Lord says these false prophets, now they haven't done that. They haven't fed the sheep. And you know, one of the great commandments to God's preachers is feed my sheep. And that what the Lord told Peter? He said, Peter, do you love me? Well, if you do, then you feed my sheep. You feed my lambs. You feed my little ones. And that's not what these men were doing, because their first concern was not for the good of the sheep. It was for themselves. They took care of themselves at the expense of what's best for the sheep. You know, they gather the sheep around them. You know, they get in the middle. They put the sheep on the outside, use the sheep, you know, to protect themselves from the wolves or, you know, predators or whatever. Instead of protecting them, they use the sheep to protect them. They feed off of the sheep instead of feeding the sheep. That's what they're doing. They fleece the sheep. They leave the sheep cold and starving so that the shepherd can be rich. Look at Romans chapter 16. The Apostle Paul here has something to say about that. He tells us why this is. There's a concrete reason why a man who's supposed to be a shepherd is not taking care of the sheep. Romans 16, verse 17. "Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you've learned, and avoid them. For they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but they're serving their own belly. And by good words and fair speeches, they deceive the hearts of the simple." These prophets, these false prophets and other divisive people, you know, they set themselves up to be a big theologian. They're not feeding the sheep the word of God. They deceive people by twisting the word of God. They twist it to their own benefit. They have some goal, you know, that they have. And what they do is they wrap it in scripture to make their argument, you know, sound better and sound real religious and with fair speeches. They deceive people. And I tell you why they do it, because they're not serving God. They're serving their own belly. That's exactly why they're doing it. In Philippians 3, verse 19, Paul said, God is their belly. That's what they're serving. Well, read on our text, Ezekiel 34, verse 4. You haven't fed the sheep. The disease have you not strengthened. Neither have you healed that which was sick. Neither have you bound up that which was broken. Neither have you brought again that which was driven away. Neither have you sought that which was lost. But with force and cruelty have you ruled them. And they're scattered because there's no shepherd. And they became meat to all the beasts of the field when they were scattered. My sheep wandered through all the mountains and upon every high hill. Yea, my flock was scattered upon all the face of the earth, and none did search after them or seek after them. Now the Lord tells these false prophets, my sheep are diseased, and you haven't nursed them back to health. You don't point them, those that are sin sick, you're not pointing them to Christ, the great physician. You're pointing them to the law. You're pointing them to all these things, you know, they can do and get busy doing. But they're sin sick. You're not pointing them to the Savior. You don't care for the sheep. You don't point them to Christ and teach them Christ so that they grow stronger in grace and in the knowledge of Christ. You don't bind up that which is broken. You don't have compassion on the brokenhearted. You can't bind up the brokenhearted because you don't know how. You don't know Christ, so you don't preach Christ to them. You know, the only way a heart that is ever broken over sin, the only way that heart can be comforted is by trusting Christ. Even a heart broken over loss and pain and suffering in this life, the only way that heart can be comforted is with the presence of Christ. Christ can comfort your heart like nothing else can. But that's not going to happen if nobody's preaching Christ to you. These men don't bind up the brokenhearted. I'll get to this here in just a little bit. I'd be right happy to find someone that's brokenhearted over sin. Because I got some good news for them. I heard a man actually make, and this is a famous TV preacher, got a big ministry, big money. You know what he had to say about this matter of sin? I don't want to talk about it because I don't want to bring people down. We have a positive message. Well, nobody's heart's going to be broken if we're not talking about sin and what it is. The Lord says you haven't bound up the brokenhearted. And worse yet, I guess you haven't broken their heart because you're not preaching the truth, huh? And the Lord says, my sheep are lost, but you didn't go out and find them. You're not seeking them. You're not trying to find them. You've not gathered my people together. Instead, what you've done is you've driven them away. They're scattered everywhere because you're the one that's driven them away. You drove them away by preaching the law to them. You got out the rod of the law trying to straighten people up, and all you did is drive them away. Because the law doesn't have anything good for a sinner. None whatsoever. The law has no comfort for a poor sinner. So here God describes, you know, I know we talked a lot about these false prophets, but I want you to they're not the focus, okay? The sheep are the focus. And here's the way God describes his sheep. They're hungry, they're sin sick, they're broken, and they're lost. They're lost and driven away. Now that's every last one of us by nature, isn't it? We're hungry, starving, we don't have anything spiritually to eat, we're sick with sin, we're broken in sin, we're lost. And we can't do anything to help ourselves. We can't do anything to fix any one of those four problems, and the false prophet can't give us anything to fix them either. We're a mess, aren't we? We're an absolute mess. Well, aren't you thankful the Lord doesn't stop there? He goes on and tells Ezekiel, you know, you prophesy this, I'm not going to leave my people to their own devices. You know, if the Lord left us to ourselves, we'd be reprobate tonight. If the Lord left us to ourselves. If the Lord left us to ourselves, we'd all be preaching and believing a lie on a mad dash to hell. If the Lord left the church alone, by the time the apostles got done writing the New Testament, if he left the church alone, there'd be absolutely no truth at all being preached anywhere in this world today. But the Lord says, I'm not going to leave my people alone. He said, here you prophesy what I'm going to do for my people. I'm going to do for them what nobody else would do and what nobody else can do. Verse 7. Therefore, you shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. As I live, saith the Lord God, surely because my flock became a prey, and my flock became meat to every beast of the field, because there was no shepherd, neither did my shepherds search for my flock, but the shepherds fed themselves and fed not my flock. Therefore, O ye shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God, I am against the shepherds, and I will require my flock at their hand. And I'll cause them to cease from feeding the flock, neither shall the shepherds feed themselves any more. I will deliver my flock from their mouth. I'm going to deliver my people from the mouth of false religion, that they may not be meat for them. The Lord says, you false prophets, you don't take care of my sheep, and I'm going to judge it for it. Now that's right where we're going to leave them. God's going to deal with them in his time. And he says, since you false prophets won't care for my sheep, I will. You won't care for my sheep, but I will. I will seek and save the lost. Verse 11. For thus saith the Lord God, behold, I will both search my sheep and seek them out. As a shepherd seeketh out his flock in the day that he's among his sheep that are scattered, so will I seek out my sheep and deliver them out of all places where they've been scattered in the cloudy and dark day. Now we know from reading scripture that God has a people he elected to save. He chose those people unto salvation before God created anything. But now when those people are born into this world, they're born lost. They're lost. I mean, they're really lost. They're so lost. First of all, they don't even know they're lost. They got no idea where they're at, and they got no idea how to get where they want to go. They're lost. They're separated from God, and they're lost. They don't have the first idea how to get back to God. Now, they've got a few ideas. You know, man knows, has some idea that I'm lost, some idea I'm separated from God, so I'm going to try to find a way, make up a way I can get back to God. They got some religious ideas. They say, well, let's go this way. And they go that way for a while, and they're more lost than they were before. So they say, well, let's go this way for a while. They go that way for a while. You know, you've known people that have done that. You know, they try every religion on the face of the earth. They just keep trying to go this way and this way. But they can't find their way. They're still lost. Everything they do gets them more lost, doesn't it? And I'll tell you why the sheep are lost. It's because they've been driven away from God. Look at verse 16. The Lord says, I will seek that which was lost and bring again that which was driven away. Now, first thing we got to know about being lost is, how did we get lost? How did I get in this shape? How did I get lost? You know, the false prophet, he's not telling the sheep that they've been driven away from God. He wants to have a positive message. So he says, oh, God loves everybody. You know, no, you're not lost. You know the way to God. Oh, if you just let him into your heart, you know, you're not lost. That's not so. The sheep have been driven away from God by Adam's sin. After Adam's sin, God, he met them. He talked to the man, the woman, to the serpent. He made coats of skins for Adam and Eve. And you know what Genesis 3:24 says? That God drove Adam from the garden. God drove him. He can't be in God's presence anymore. He's driven away from God because of his sin. It's his sin that separated him from God. And God drove Adam out of his presence, he drove us out too. Because we were in Adam, our representative. We've been driven away from God ever since. It's our sin that has separated us from our God. And man can't figure the way how to come back. But there is a way. Now there is a way. Man can't figure it out on his own, but there is a way. We can come back to God if somebody else brings us. But somebody else has got to bring us. When I was a little boy, I was 3-4 years old probably. I was at some sort of store with my mother, and we passed by an escalator. And Sean, I was so fascinated with that escalator. I didn't see anything else. And I just started doing my hands on that, you know, has rolling down, just looking at that, just so fascinated by that escalator. I mean, just, I can't even tell you how fascinated I was. And a minute I looked around and I saw a bunch of people, but you know who I didn't see? My mother. I was lost and I was petrified. I was petrified. Who are all these people? Where in the world am I? What, you know? And I started crying and just, oh my goodness, I was lost. And you know, I never would have found my mother, except somebody in that store said, come here and I'll take you to your mother. I was lost and somebody had to bring me. Somebody else had to get me unlost. They had to find me and take me where I needed to be. That's what Christ has done for his people. Let me show you that. 1 Peter chapter 3. First Peter 3, verse 18. For Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit. And here's how Christ brought his people back to God. It wasn't like that woman that, you know, found me lost by the escalator and took me by the hand, took me back to my mother. Christ did something a whole lot better than that. He brought his people back to God by being made sin for them, the just for the unjust. He took the sin of his people and he put it away by his sacrifice, by sacrificing himself, by the blood of his sacrifice. And once that sacrifice was complete and he cried, it is finished, sin's gone. All of the sin of all of his people is gone. Now there's no reason for the elect to be separated from God anymore, is there? It's sin that separates from God. Christ put sin away so the good shepherd could find his sheep and bring them back to God. They're not lost anymore. He found them. And you know, the worst thing about the false prophet is he leads the lost sheep out further and further and further out into the wilderness because he's not telling them the truth. He's not telling them they're lost. He's not telling them how they got lost. He's not telling them the direction to go to get back to God. Oh, he'll try to lead them, but he leads them with the law. But what does the word say? By the deeds of the law shall no man be justified. That won't work. He leads them in the way of emotion. He's like that fellow who wants to have a positive, upbeat message. Makes everybody feel real good about their flesh. But you can have a real positive, feel-good emotion, and go to hell. You sure can. He's not going to find those lost sheep. So God says, I will seek them, and I'll find them. I'll find my lost sheep. That's what the Lord Jesus came to do. He said in Luke 19, verse 10, the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. Those lost sheep, they're going to be found, and they're going to be saved. You know, the person who is truly, truly lost, it's when they've given up all hope of being found. They've given all hope of getting back to civilization or, you know, whatever, and they just quit. They just lie down and die. There's no hope. They just quit. That's lost. And that's the way we are by nature. In John 6, verse 44, the Savior said, no man can come unto me except the Father which has sent me draw him. Now that's how lost we are. We can't come back to God. Now if that person is so lost, they can't come back to God, somebody else is going to have to find them and save them, aren't they? That's what Christ does for his people. Now I got a question for you. I don't want this just to be religious theory. I want you to answer this question in your heart. Do you know what it is to be lost? Do you know what it is to be lost? Well, I hope you do. Because I'm telling you, you'll never be found until you're lost. Look at Luke chapter 15. This is the parable our Lord told in three parts. The first part is about the shepherd. Luke chapter 15. Verse 1. Then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him. And the Pharisees and scribes murmured, saying, This man receiveth sinners, and eateth with them. And he spake this parable unto them, saying, What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness, and go after that which is lost until he find it? And when he hath found it, he layeth it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, Rejoice with me, for I found my sheep which was lost. I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth, more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance. Now, if you're not lost, you need no repentance, Christ is not for you. But that lost sheep, that's a different story, isn't it? That lost sheep belongs to Christ. The Father gave it to him, and he goes out and seeks that sheep in love. Not in anger, not mad because the sheep wandered away, not mad because the sheep was driven away. That sheep belongs to him, and in love, he goes and he finds that sheep. He seeks it till he finds it. And he tenderly carries that lost sheep all the way home, carrying it in his bosom, rejoicing while he does. Now that's how Christ the shepherd cares for his lost sheep. If you're a lost sheep, you're going to meet the shepherd. You are. He's going to find you. See, there's absolutely no doubt the Savior's going to find all of his lost sheep. And none of them will perish. None of them will. Now the Lord's going to use men to preach to them. He's going to use men to pastor them, to be the under shepherd, to lead them and to point them to Christ. But the Lord is the one who's doing the work of making that message effectual. The preacher, he preaches. That's what God's given him to do, to preach. But the Lord's the one that's going to call out his lost sheep by that preaching of Christ. We just leave it up to Christ. He's going to find the sheep. And I tell you, I'm right happy to have it that way. I'm happy that's his responsibility, not mine, because he won't mess it up. Well, Lord said, I'll find my lost sheep. Second, he says back here in our text, Ezekiel 34, I'm going to feed my sheep. Verse 13 says, I will bring them out from the people and gather them from the countries and bring them into their own land and feed them upon the mountains of Israel by the rivers and in all the inhabited places of the country. I will feed them in a good pasture, and upon the high mountains of Israel shall their fold be. There shall they lie in a good fold and in a fat pasture. And in a fat pasture shall they feed upon the mountains of Israel. I will feed my flock, and I will cause them to lie down, saith the Lord God. Now the false prophet, he didn't care about the sheep. He just feed the sheep any old thing. He feeds them the briars of the law. That just, you know, the sheep trying to chew on those briars. Maybe goats can do that. Sheep can't. It just hurts their mouth, cuts up their gums and their lips and makes them hurt and bleed. The false prophet, he feeds the sheep the junk food of emotion and feel good, you know. It's just like feeding a child, you know, all just junk food. Just never feed them anything junk food. Well, you'll fill their belly, but they ain't going to be healthy. The sheep are starving. Now, they know they need some. They're starving. They don't know what they need, but they know they're not getting what they need. Now, have you ever been there? Do you know what that feels like? Do you know what it is to be spiritually starving? You're starving to death, and you must have something. You don't know what it is, but you must have something. Do you know what it is to be starving? Do you know what it is to be empty? Do you know what it is to be able to, that you can't feed yourself? Well, I hope so, because those sheep that need to be fed, you know what the Lord says? I'll feed them. I'll feed them. Look down here at verse 23. And I will set up one shepherd over them, And he shall feed, he's speaking of Christ here, one shepherd over them, he shall feed them. Even my servant David. Now David had been dead a long time here. He's not talking about King David. He's talking about the son of David. He shall feed them and he shall be their shepherd. The Lord's going to feed his sheep. And he says here he's going to feed them with the green pastures of his word. This word, oh, it's a good pasture. It's full and rich. It's fat. It's full of good things for God's sheep. This word has got no briars in it. It's just tender, sweet grass for God's sheep to graze in. And notice this, when Christ feeds his sheep, they feed peacefully. Peacefully. There's no fussing and bickering and fighting and trying to guard your territory. They're feeding peacefully. The Lord causes his sheep to lie down in green pastures. They lie down because they're at peace. They don't have to be standing up on watch for somebody coming to attack them. They've got nothing to be afraid of. The shepherd's with them. The shepherd led them there. I tell you another reason they lie down is because they're full. I do that all the time anymore. When I get full, I just got to close my eyes and meditate for a few minutes now. I'm full. That's the way the sheep are. They're just fed, they're full, and they rest. That's what we have in the Word. If Christ is being our shepherd, if he's the one feeding us, it is. And also notice this. The Lord's not feeding those individual sheep. They're scattered here and there and everywhere. But he's not feeding them scattered all around the mountains and all the valleys and all the different places. Christ goes and he gathers his sheep into folds. Into sheepfolds. He puts them all together. The sheepfold is where the sheep lie together. They get warmth. They get encouragement. They get comfort from one another. And that's God's church here on this earth. At least that's what it's supposed to be. That's what it's supposed to be. This is supposed to be a place where the sheep can gather together and be fed the word. That's what this place is supposed to be. This is a sheepfold. This sheepfold is a place where the sheep are supposed to be able to come and rest. They don't have to be on their guard from the other sheep here. We're sheep. This is the place where the sheep come to get warmth and encouragement. They should find some love and care for one another because this is a sheepfold. This is where God gathers together his sheep. And the Lord's commandment to Peter and all his other preachers is this. Feed my sheep. You feed my sheep. You get in that study and you study and you pray and you seek God's message. You seek God's message for his people for this hour and you pray for God's Spirit to enable you to open your mouth and to preach Christ, to rightly divide the word of truth. That's the job of the under shepherd, to preach the gospel, to preach Christ, to feed the sheep. But I'm telling you this, we are completely dependent upon the Lord to make that preaching effectual. And I'm just real happy it's that way. If I had to be a salesman and convince y'all to do something, I'd starve to death. I couldn't do it. That's not in my skill set. But I can depend on the Lord to make his word effectual, to feed the hearts of his people. Aren't you glad the Lord does this? Listen to this statement from Charles Spurgeon. If the Lord did not interfere with his church continually, the church would cease to exist. The Lord's going to make it effectual in me. All right, here's the third thing. The Lord says, I will bind up that which was broken. Verse 16. I will seek that which was lost and bring again that which was driven away, and I'll bind up that which was broken. That word broken means destroyed. When Adam fell, all of us were destroyed. We're ruined. Our nature died. Our hearts died. Our hearts, now they remained intact, but they are broken in this way. They don't work right anymore. They're dead. Our natural heart is so hard, and it doesn't do what a heart's supposed to do. Our natural heart, it can't love God. You know, that's a symbol for love, right? A heart. Our heart can't love God. It's not doing what it's supposed to do. It's broke. Our heart can't trust Christ. Our heart can't believe on Christ. It's a spiritually dead heart. And I'd say one of the very first things God the Holy Spirit does when he comes to his people is break their hearts. He breaks their heart over sin. And this, when the Holy Spirit breaks our heart, it's not just being sorry over the consequences of our sin. You know, I know I'm going to be damned for my sin. I don't want to go to hell. All that is being sorry I got caught. That's all it is. A heart broken by the Holy Spirit is sorry for who I am. It's sorry for what I am. I'm sin. There's no hope in myself. I see that God would be just and right to send me to hell. That's exactly what I deserve. You know what it is to have a broken heart? You know, humanly speaking, is there anything worse than a broken heart? Remember when you were a teenager and your boyfriend or girlfriend broke up with you, you're just brokenhearted? I mean, it's just the worst thing in the world. I mean, it's just so horrible. And I know a broken heart is a painful thing. But do you know what it is to have a heart broken over sin? And not just a boyfriend or a girlfriend, not things, you know, not going your way. I'm telling a heart that's broken over sin. It's consuming. It's so painful. Do you know what that is? I pray you do. I pray you do. Because you have a heart that's broken over sin. I want you to look what the Lord said he's going to do. Look first at Psalm 34. And the Lord has a promise of what he's going to do for folks that have a broken heart. Psalm 34, verse 18. The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and he saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. If your heart is broken over your sin, the Lord promised he's going to be nigh. He's going to be near. He's going to be the one to comfort you. Look at Psalm 51. Verse 17, the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit. A broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. If you have a broken and a contrite heart, God's not going to despise you. Now look at Psalm 147. Psalm 147, verse 2. The Lord doth build up Jerusalem. See, he's the one that builds his church. He's the one that makes the preaching effectual. He's the one that calls out his people and gives them faith. The Lord doth build up Jerusalem. He gathereth together the outcasts of Israel. He healeth the broken in heart and bindeth up their wounds. The Lord is going to heal every broken heart. Every heart broken over sin, he's going to heal it. And you know what he does, how he heals it? It's by giving you a new heart. It's by giving you a new nature that does trust Christ, that does love Christ. I can't do that for you. You can't do that for yourself. But the Lord will. The Lord will. And you know how he did it? It's by his sacrifice. The Lord gave his body to be broken as a sacrifice for sin so that he could take the hearts of his people and make them whole again. It's by his sacrifice, by applying the blood of his sacrifice, he binds up the brokenhearted. And then here's the last thing. The Lord will heal the spiritually sick. In verse 16, he says, I'll strengthen that which was sick. Now, being sin sick, sin is not just breaking the rules. Sin is a disease. It's a disease that kills the body and damns the soul. Look back at Isaiah chapter 1. Isaiah chapter 1. In verse 5. Here Isaiah, he's going to describe you and me by nature. He said, why should you be stricken anymore? You'll revolt more and more. The whole head is sick. The whole heart is faint. from the sole of the foot even to the head. There's no soundness in it, but wounds and bruises and putrefying sores that have not been closed, neither bound up, neither mollified with ointment. Sin is a disgusting disease. Now that picture there that Isaiah painted, if you really take a lot of time to think about that, I mean, that's disgusting. Something like that to wounds and bruises, they haven't been treated. They haven't had any ointment put on them. I mean, besides looking disgusting, they stink. They just, you know, they're so quickly going to kill the body. And the half's not been told about how horrible and how disgusting our sin sickness really is. And there's no human cure for it. There's no human cure for this soul sickness. The Lord says the false prophet is not even trying to heal you, and you can't heal yourself. Now, do you know what it is to be diseased? Not spiritually diseased, spiritually dead. There's no life in you. There's no, I mean, you're just disgusting to yourself. Do you know what that is? Well, I hope so. I'm not wishing something bad on you, but now I hope you know what that is to be sin sick. Because the Lord says to those who are sin sick, I will heal my people. I'll heal them. And do you know how Christ healed all of his people from all of their sin sickness? It's by taking our sin sickness in his own body on the tree and trading us his health. Look at Isaiah chapter 53. We'll close here. Isaiah chapter 53. Verse 4. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God and afflicted, but he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes, with his bruising, with his beating, with his bleeding, we are healed. Christ heals his people by taking our sin sickness and giving us his health. Now that's the great physician. And all I can do as a preacher is I can tell you about him. I can point you to him. Are you sin sick? Go to Christ. Go to Christ. That's all I can tell you. Preach the gospel. And I'm right happy to leave it there. Because the Lord's going to make that effectual to his people. He's the one that's going to come to his people. And he's going to make them believe. Make them believe. He's going to give them a nature that can't not believe. He's going to do that. He's going to come to his people. And he's going to be like that good Samaritan who pours in oil and wine. His sin-cleansing blood. And I tell you, when Christ, the great physician, comes to his sin-sick people and he makes them whole, buddy, they're whole. You know how whole they are? They can never die. When Christ heals his people, he gives them eternal life. So they can never be sick, they can never be bruised, they can never be wounded again. Now, are you sick? Are you sin sick? Well, come to Christ. He said he was going to heal the sick. That's what he promised to do for his people. Now come to him. And I'm just right happy to trust him to do it, aren't you? All right, let's bow together. Our Father, how we thank you for these precious, precious promises of your word. What you promised to do for your people. To do everything for us that's required. To do everything for us that we cannot do for ourselves. Father, how we thank you for your mercy and your grace that seeks out your people, finds them, saves them, feeds them, binds up our broken heart, gives us eternal life. Father, how we thank you. Father, I pray that you would bless your word tonight, that you'd cause it to go forth to comfort the hearts of your people, to bind up the brokenhearted, to find those that are lost and bring them to Christ. Father, we pray that you do it for your glory and your honor. It's in Christ's name. For his sake we pray. Amen. All right, Sean.